Welcome to episode 1F21, Lady Bouvier's Lover. I'm Wes Archer, the director.
Bill Oakley, one of the writers.
Josh Weinstein, the other writer.
David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
And this is Matt Groening. And this episode was first broadcast May 12, 1994.
This was so long ago, and television tastes were so different that I'd like to say that when we titled this episode, we actually thought maybe we shouldn't name it after Lady Chatterley Lover because it's a little dirty, and now...
Please, Krusty, this is very demeaning.
Shut up and conduct!
You mean nobody would get it now?
Nobody would get it, and also nobody cares. There's pornography on TV 24 hours a day.
Oh, where?
Where?
And, we've mentioned before on this DVD set, trying to get animals to perform will get you attacked.
You will be mauled.
Again and again. Well, The Simpsons it will, every
time. The Simpsons
time.
Prove that. And
you point to the monkey? What do babies know?
Maggie, can you point to the credenza?
No!
That's a credenza.
Yeah, very well-rendered credenza.
Birthday cake.
What? It's not McGaggy's birthday? Oh.
Here we're trying to establish that Homer likes to eat.
For you to ruin, it's over there.
Ooh.
Hello, everyone, except Homer. Happy birthday, granddaughter.
Now, this is a tour de force for Julie Kavner. She's playing all these characters that you see, Marge, her sisters, and her mother. And when you direct her in something like this, it's a lot of work for her because... talking in all these gravelly voices, and then the mother who barely has a voice is really tough on her voice. But she's such a trooper and tries really hard and loves it when we do a show like this that really features all her characters and is emotional. So she had a blast doing the show, or so I'm going to claim.
Also, I recall that this is the first time that Mrs. Bouvier had ever appeared for longer than a few seconds. And she had laryngitis the only other time she appeared in a Thanksgiving episode, and so Julie didn't really know how she was going to talk.
And it was hard for her to continue that voice. This is the second of
the second appearance of the one-eyebrowed baby.
The one-eyebrowed baby, yes.
We've let that slip away.
I only recall that he appeared in those two episodes. We were locked in our office writing these five episodes, and we just used all the same characters.
Well, The Simpsons movie is The Mystery of the One-Eyebrowed Baby.
Hey!
What she needs is a balsam spray.
By the way, Wes, I love the photographs, the way Maggie's POV of what the people look like. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, there was a nice frame of a nice scene where Maggie's point of view of her family were distorted into monstrous shapes that came from a sketch from David Silverman, the supervising director, who's not here today.
The wonderful David Silverman.
By the way, when we pan down now from between floors, there's always a gag, and we finally stopped doing it because we ran out of gags. But that was nice that it's being recorded.
This is the
enormous
show will go on,
by the way, until we run out of all gags.
Now, in this case, the joke was how long we went on singing this product song and giving them free advertisement.
We were also hoping for free hot dogs, and we never got
it. No. In fact, an interesting tidbit, the only thing we ever got sent in the whole time we were here was a case of Stridex pads for that episode in the fourth season where the kid goes, I'm in Pizza Face Paradise. Now look at that. Shouldn't we have gotten some free hot dogs?
At least one pack of hot dogs.
Now, didn't we have this discussion? Was
out of business.
Dogs still happening?
That's why we got to do it, because they were out of business.
They were out of, we couldn't send us any hot dogs.
But there's Chicken Tonight. Now, Chicken Tonight is apparently faded out of the public consciousness.
Yeah, way out.
It's got Simpson's curse, right?
But yeah, the trick is to not, give free plugs to items that no longer exist, guys. If you want to get the swag.
That was the thinking behind Chicken Tonight.
Yeah, earlier when you mentioned Smeckler's powder, too, didn't get that either.
See, all that was sent to me. I have tons of Smeckler's powder if you need any.
And I remember, Matt, you designed Marge's mother pretty much exactly like she looks here in one sketch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she really took off, that character.
That's the character we can't keep in stock on the shelves.
These old people don't need companionship. They need to be isolated and studied.
And by the way, this episode came from, all the research that's done at networks and everything. We have a huge kid audience. So what do kids want to see? They want to see old people. and they want to see a love story between old people, and that's where the whole idea from this came from.
And we thought we'd hook them in with the loneliness that old people feel.
I'll be back in a jiffy!
No, it's a really great... this is a very heartbreaking moment.
I'll be back in a jiffy!
Brings out the wrong woman.
Many of the jokes are really more of the sad type of joke in this episode.
Aww.
See, we can do nasty old people jokes because we're all effectively old people eventually.
Well,
so
also,
we're not
old people
outside
didn't watch
of our
the
group.
Show, and we were mad about that. They were all watching Matlock.
That's
seriously
right.
At that point, and like, you know, what the hell? Come on.
Oh, it's not a swindle. What you
I don't know. I do remember that the numbers, you know, which really mean nothing, but we have to pretend they mean something, that our demographics after age 55 fall off, don't they? It's like
0.1, yes,
yeah.
Above that.
And anytime we ever try to get a guest star that's over that age limit, they have no idea what the show is and are usually fairly hostile toward it.
Of course, all the people that are above 55 now were only 27 when the show started.
That's actually true. Now we are into that area. We can get old people because we've been on long enough.
I was horrified when I reached Homer's age.
Oh, we had to age Homer up. We aged him from 36 to 38 in one of our years, but then now we're 38.
Maybe.
Maybe. And the wonderful thing, of course, is the kids don't change at all.
And it's great when we both steal something from the Gold Rush and then comment on it.
And talk it to old people for enjoying it.
You get all the humor that Chaplin invented, plus a jab at him as well.
And it drove my friends crazy.
Oh, who are your friends?
Oh, Zelda Fitzgerald, Francis Farmer, and little Sylvia Plath.
That's the kind of joke you don't usually hear on network television.
By the way, that would be a great evening of biography movies, by the way, just play three of those right after another.
I'm not sure I've ever been to
the source. That line I remember.
Those are references that a Fox executive wouldn't get.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So they would just pass over it in silence.
No, wait.
And secretly think that somehow it was dirty.
We looked at the first draft of this script yesterday, and this sequence originally went on for about 4 minutes. And it finally ended up, I'm in love, I'm in Virginia, and I'm in jail.
You might remember me from such films as The Boat Jacking of Super Ship 79.
The brilliant and wonderful Phil Hartman, who is not only so incredibly funny, but just a dream to work with. He just loved doing this and would just kill himself for you. He really would just work so hard to get it just right and was just such a pleasure to have around always.
He was always talking about doing the Troy McClure movie,
oh,
too.
Yeah, a live-action Troy McClure movie starring him, and that, man, that would have been so funny.
That would have been funny.
Positively 100% guaranteed to increase in value.
Not a guarantee.
Now, this is a comment possibly on the Simpsons cells. which are available in various places for incredibly reasonable prices, and they are guaranteed to go up in value because there's only about 4 million of them.
And I'd like to order an itchy and scratchy cell.
An interesting anecdote. Remember how we used to all get so excited about how we get one chance a year they would let the staff buy cells, and they'd have a selection of about 100 cells.
That's what I meant.
They charged us a lot of money for the cells, and I still have several of them now. They're not even worth $50 on eBay.
It may not be an accurate depiction of value of sales.
Wait a second. Is that true?
Yes.
Oh.
It's the average cost for a Simpsons cell on eBay, and one with a stamp, and not like one of these limited edition Sarah cells, is about $75.
Fox,
I believe
we
had to pay $300 for our cell.
Yeah, this is going to be big. It's going to be a long silence here.
Yeah. This part deleted by Fox Lawyers.
There's the
I
Simpsons
love that. I love
that.
That should be a poster. Simpsons would look like if Matt had not created them.
Fine. You know, Abe had a very nice time with you last Sunday.
Tell her I love her!
Grandpa, shh! I know my mother.
An interesting part here where Abe disappears and then reappears on split screen.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Very well done.
Oh, Mom, gotta go.
It is actually very hard to get Simpsons cells for certain episodes. In fact, the fifth season has been hard to get cells from.
Balma Simpson.
That's me.
Oh. Don't write no more letters to Mr. Sinatra.
I've got a special delivery for Homer Simpson.
That's me.
Certain cells are worth more money. Like the whole family.
Oh, yeah, the family. No, people don't want cells with... this is how I learned the hard way. People don't want cells with Grandpa or the Capital City Goofball.
I bought them. Cells with
they
Mo
apparently
and
want
comic
cells
book
with
guy.
The family, and I'm like, well, I didn't invest in those. But I do have this great one.
That's what it is, an investment.
Capital City Goofball.
Grandpa's going to go through the roof. You hold on to those cells. He's going to be the hot one. I love the fact that all these adults, by the way, have no problem punching a child in the nose. They think he's Homer.
And we laugh.
And we laugh. It's just fine.
He's got a genuine itchy and scratchy animation cell.
I like being inside the animation cell canister, by the way, Wes.
I bet that's the scene number that this was in.
Oh, no. I use Dad's credit card to buy this?
Yeesh. I actually have the cell of Bart with the cell at the comic book shop.
Which is, it's worth over $5,000 on eBay, that particular one.
I thought this was one of the more inventive spins on Nelson's ha-ha. Because he couldn't be in their house, but how could he possibly miss an opportunity to make fun of Bart for that stupid cell?
It's a great joke. He actually astral projects his ha-ha into the house.
And he's quivering on the floor with a quick mark.
And, of course, Nelson was named after the wrestling term.
Nelson? Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow.
And Madman Muntz,
very
right?
Clever.
Was Madman Muntz the wrestler?
What?
He was
the wrestling. No, full Nelson, half Nelson.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And great designs here, too, Wes.
Another sequence that had visual development input of David Silverman.
Yeah, it's beautiful colors.
The background is very much like those 50s United Artists cartoons or whatever.
That was fun. It was a fun sequence.
We slightly improve. Now, what's that rule? Say it cool.
That's a good joke.
Is this cell worth anything?
Yeah, I have a cell of this.
This is a Snagglepuss drawn by Hig Heisler. It is worth something.
To this day, we still talk about Hig Heisler. Maybe that's our favorite thing we've ever written, is the name Hig Heisler. That's
Hig
a famous
Heisler,
cartoonist.
Could he
name.
Do anything else but be a cartoonist with that name?
If I wanted to put Hig Heisler on the credits of a cartoon, would you let me do that?
And Snagglepuss was a character that I quite enjoyed as a child. I don't know if he's probably, is he on anywhere these days, Snagglepuss?
I think he might be on Boomerang, yeah, perhaps. Everything that was ever made for TV is currently on TV.
That is true. That's the miracle of 300 channels.
Have the next dance. What the? Don't sneak up on it, oh you! No need for the...
Now sometimes Burns is really feeble and frail, but in this sequence it's the opposite.
We will actually change the characters around now and again to make them work and what we need them to do. Sometimes Burns can't pull a bear from a baby. Other times he's the best dancer on the floor.
Oh, we can't crush a paper cup in many senses.
That's right.
But this is, you know, the thing that I think inspired this episode was that we have so many old people. As you said earlier, there's so many old people on The Simpsons and... You know, as a regular on network television, you just don't see this kind of story for that, whatever reason.
That really is true.
And originally, the actual idea for this was, which later was abandoned, was that it was like Misery, and Grandpa got injured on Burns' property and then had to be put up there, and he thought Burns was trying to kill him. That part got cut out when the script was about 85 pages long in the first draft.
Smithers very unhappy about this relationship.
We also thought we'd hook the kids in of a Jimmy Durante reference here.
Kids are just waiting for Jimmy Durante references.
Yeah, Wes, I remember when we came over to Film Romany, you actually watching a tape of the old Jimmy Durante show. This is the end of the old Jimmy Durante show where he'd go, "Goodnight, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are." But, you know, in 1993, only a few hundred people still living knew what that was, and now it's 11 years later.
I didn't know what it was. I had to track down a
there you go.
Copy.
Well, as a kid watching Jimmy Durante, it was a mystery of why this guy was...
And who was Mrs. Calabash?
The way I was first introduced to most people, like Jimmy Durante and even the Marx Brothers, was through the Warner Brothers Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yep.
I first saw, like, you know, Bogey and all these people as cartoons first, and then seeing them live was very weird. It was very creepy and strange to see it reversed.
Well, you saw them on TV live, and they were very old and not what they used to be.
Exactly.
But if you see those old Jimmy Durante movies,
you can appreciate them.
You know, and I play Inka Dinka Doo.
That's how a lot of kids were introduced to President Clinton.
Right, that was President Clinton. He was president between 1992 and 2000.
It's my theme.
Here's another very depressing
one. I love that. The one guy who couldn't find love, and he wasn't going to lie about it. He was just going to stay there.
The delineation of romantic intentions. Giuseppe. Smithers, come over here and help me write a mash note to my girlfriend.
Smithers does a great job of writing a letter now.
Darling one, read my words and hear my heart speak of a love soft and undying. Love that will...
I remember when we wrote this, and I'm not very good at romantic stuff, and then Josh just suddenly dictated this whole thing verbatim, and it was like, whoa.
It was from my heart.
Were you
to
writing
you.
It to Bill?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. He just dictated the whole thing, and I was like, okay, that's great, and we typed it right in.
It was very nice.
So you guys have been partners forever?
20 years now.
How's that?
We started working in ninth grade.
We were 9, and now we're 29.
Because Merkin and I have been partners, but no one knows.
For the longest time. Well, living together.
Yeah.
Oh, it's... Why, it's Fred Flintstone and his lovely wife, Wilma. Oh, and this must be Little Pebbles. Mind if I come in? I brought chocolates. Yabba-dabba-doo!
I love that Smithers was able to give him all that information in such a short amount of time, the Pebbles piece of information as well.
That's right, money. Your money's happiness is all that money's.
Hi. You know, Grandma really likes it when her boyfriend...
I love the rocking on the heels.
That's really well done.
She likes it when they give me money.
Run alone, Pee-wee. Baby gets nothing.
Very well. You leave me no choice. This gun is filled with ketchup. This one with mustard. Now give me $350 or you're going to be a mess for your date.
You don't have the guts. Ugh. Here, take your money. Take it. Ooh, no.
I always thought more kids should try that. It seemed like a good idea.
There's a little John Woo moment.
I didn't ever get that because Burns was crouching, and so like every time when I finally saw the killer long after this, I was like, he's not crouching and aiming down at his head.
We heard there was a need of some cheering up. We got you a special cake.
Another really depressing.
Better call the nurse.
They're all dying and lonely. That's the message.
Right, this was Luigi's also. Both Luigi and the One I Brought Baby were appeared just 3 episodes earlier because we were just writing these constantly and recycling the same characters.
And Luigi, you'll see, he's off model from all the rest of The Simpsons because he's just really stolen from the front of a pizza box.
That's right.
$50 on your credit card.
What?
And he's the worst Italian stereotype we can come up with. And his first set of jokes, he's expanded a little bit from here, was to always say the nasty thing really loud back in the kitchen thinking no one could hear. And then he's real nice when he's out with the customer.
Her stern but sensible face will remind me never to do anything so stupid again.
Hey, Bart, you want to go play with that X-ray machine in the abandoned hospital?
Sure.
By the way, this made the sales of those Meriwether phones go right through the roof.
If you look in your champagne, I think you'll find a little surprise. Not to worry, I believe there's another one around here somewhere.
He put it in the burning hot fun, too.
Crack. Now, his legs are stiff from all that amazing dancing he did just a few nights earlier.
Will you marry me?
You know, the answer is that he's so in love with her that all the adrenaline flowed and he was young again for a short time.
Monty can provide for me. And besides, he's a great kisser.
Yuck!
What about Abe Simpson? Don't you have any feelings for him? Oh, he's a dear, but he's too much of an old fusspot. We're all aware of Grandpa's problems, but compared to Mr. Burns, he's Judge freaking Reinhold. I don't know.
That reference, how much longer will that reference work if it still works?
I think it works better today than it did back when people knew who he was.
I find on the ground. Latex condo. Boy, I'd like to live in one of those.
Hey, Barney, why don't you fill out the groom side?
One Nazi.
I always hope that guy would appear later as Burns' friend. We always thought it was funny that Burns only had one friend, and it was that guy.
It could still happen, believe me.
But his reply envelope just had a check to the gas company in it.
And so when Eliphaz came down from Mount Hebron bearing figs, he offered them to Moham.
Strangely, the podium is missing from under
hey,
the...
Hey, oh, look, he's here.
And to Hazor.
And now it's back.
Their matrimony.
You know, that's the magic of religion, that things can just pop in and out of churches.
Get to the bloody point!
Do you, Charles Montgomery Burns, take...
That's Harry, of course, and he is brilliant in this character, I think. As well as obviously being Mr. Burns and Smithers.
Yeah, there's so much great voice acting, it's impossible to get enough.
Yes, Harry wanted to, I recall that Harry wanted to pronounce the names correctly, the biblical names,
yes,
like Eliphaz and whatever, and we said, no, no, get them wrong, even though we thought that was the way they were supposed to be pronounced.
Now this starts to turn into a parody of my absolute favorite film of all time, The Graduate, which has been done several times elsewhere as well, but...
this was only the third or fourth time it had been done on this series.
That's true.
Mrs. Booby! Honey, are you sure you...
I think Jim Brooks has said to me about the Graduate that it actually has every single style joke there is in it, which I think that's a very impressive thing to be able to say.
I don't want to be either.
Hot diggity damn! That's good enough for me!
Buck Henry wrote that, right?
Buck Henry wrote that based on the novel by Charles Webb. And the novel is very, not to take anything away from Buck, who did a brilliant job, but the novel is very, very close to the film.
It's written in dialogue,
it's
isn't
written
it?
Exactly like a script, and I would recommend it to anyone who could find it. It's out of print, but it's great. And this is a nice Sound of Silence parody.
Yes, I was, whoever Al found to sing these songs, I guess that goes uncredited, but they're really good.
It was somebody in Garfunkel, but I don't remember.
Your exploits have been sad and boring. They tell a tale that's worth ignoring. When you're alone, the world...
Interestingly, we now get many more residuals for writing this song than we get for writing this or any of our episodes.
Well, that's a mistake. We're going to make sure those music residuals are rescinded.
I first took a fancy to Mrs. Bouvier because her raspy voice reminded me of my old Victrola. Oh, it was a fine machine.
We had to just cram in some old-timey references for the last 2 seconds.
You didn't have enough.
Yeah.
With all these old people, you had to get more old-timey stuff in.
Well, that's one nice thing about buying the DVDs, because you would never hear that in syndication.
That's correct.